This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to Trash Talk with TK. I am TK Tom Kelly. In this episode, we're joined by 94 WIP's Andrew Porter. Break down the NBA offseason, what lies ahead for the Sixers, and where some of the stars are going to end up. Let's go. All right, we now welcome on Andrew Porter, 94WIP.com. What's your official title, Porter?
Digital sports content guy. Digital sports editor.
Digital sports content guy.
Yeah.
That's a good title to put on your
resume. Well, I made up the content guy part, but digital sports editor, sports... I don't even know what my title is. Who cares?
I personally website like guy. The content guy
part. Yeah, website, content, page views, Porter page views.
There you go. Well, yeah. Andrew's coming on to join me to talk a little bit about the NBA... Draft Thursday night, free agency next week, which I'm doing the overnight that night, the Saturday into Sunday, which I did last year. It's actually a pretty fun shift.
That's an awesome shift.
Because there's a lot going on. I think this year it starts at like 6 p.m.
Yeah, it starts earlier, yeah.
Last year was midnight, which was, they had the whole Paul George thing was the big deal last year, and he was going to Oklahoma, or staying in Oklahoma City. But a ton going on. This... is going to be, I think, maybe the biggest offseason potentially the most impactful offseason in NBA history.
Since last offseason. Yeah.
Since last offseason, yeah. Until next offseason.
Until next offseason, yeah. I mean, it's crazy the way the NBA has like shaped these months, July, June into July, has been, over the past 5 years, has been incredible. So if you're an NBA fan, I mean, this is prime time. This is awesome. I mean, there's rumors every day. It's awesome.
It's better than the actual season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's player mobility because it gives you hope. It's like, who can you get? Once the season starts, people don't actually care about basketball games. They care about fans, at least. I mean, I love the NBA game, but like a lot of fans just want their teams to win championships. So like, this is where you win championships in the NBA.
Right. And the last couple of years, like, people have had opportunities to get players. People have had the opportunities to get better and keep building. But now that it looks like the Warriors are dead, at least for next season,
I right.
mean, who knows what's going to happen beyond if they were to keep Durant. But, I mean, next season in the NBA is so wide open that I think you're just going to see a ton of teams just out going for it in any way. We've already seen it start with the Lakers, and, you know, we'll get into all of it. But when you look specifically at the Sixers, that's kind of where my thinking is right now. That I know the Butler and Harris contracts, especially Butler, in 4 to 5 years, if you give him the max, could look really bad. But at this point, I don't even think you can think that way. I think you got to think about maximizing these next 2 to 3 years, try to bring these guys back if you can, and do anything in your power to win a title next year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree completely. I kind of just think the Sixers need to focus on continuing to grow Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And as long as they do that, they're going to be a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And I mean, I'm very high on Ben Simmons, as you know, and I think
too.
You are too. So, like, to me, you have two All-Stars, and I think Simmons will eventually be a starter as well in the All-Star game. So you could have two of the top 10 players in the league. You have to find the best ways to maximize those two guys. To your point, though, I agree. Right now, losing Butler and Harris would be pretty devastating for the franchise, it feels like. They'd have to that has to be plan A, is to retain those two guys.
Right.
And JJ you can throw in there. I don't know if they can afford JJ as well, and maybe he's probably off to the side, not as important, but he's another guy in the mix there who's kind of under-talked about.
Well, I feel like if you're going to retain JJ, if you're going to retain all three of them, JJ is going to have to take a significant pay cut, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. You know, he's a guy who's made a lot of money in the league. He loves it here from everything he said, all indications. I mean, he'd probably have to take somewhere in the, what I guess they'd be, they could go 7-8 million. If
yeah, I mean, JJ's the most readable guy to me. Like, he's made it clear for 3 years. Now, this is his third straight summer he's been a free agent. He's always made it clear that there are a few things that are important to him. A, starting. B, playing on a winning team. C, money. And D is a little bit less important, but proximity to home, which is Brooklyn. So, like, those four things he's always talked about are what he's looking for. And really only the Sixers and a handful of other teams can offer him that. Indiana, he talked about he was close to signing with Indiana last year. So, like, he's pretty readable. He made $12 million last year. So I think if you offer him in the 8 to 10, 11-ish range, it can get done. If you want it to, if the Sixers want him, they can get him for that amount. I don't know if they do. Maybe people have talked about Danny Green replacing him or guys like that. So it's very interesting. Look, in the NBA, if you re-sign your own free agents, you can go over the salary cap into the luxury tax.
Right.
Joshua Harris has said he's willing to do that. So that's where, like, if you want to sign JJ, you can. You just have to pay the tax.
So with Butler specifically, let's start there. I think the prevailing notion is that he's, you know, more likely than not to be back. You know, that's what I've seen a lot of people saying, just because, you know, the competition out there, when you look at teams like the Lakers and the Rockets, who it's now reported to have significant interest in him, just at this point at least, they don't have the money that you'd think would be required to sign him. But in terms of, you know, are we past the point of the question of whether the Sixers should bring Jimmy Butler back? We're beyond that point, right?
Yeah, like, I think he's proved that he, look, he's only 30 years old. People talk about how old he is. He's only 30. He's worth a max contract. It's his last contract, his last max contract. He'll play until he's 34, 35. He should be productive at least somewhat until then. He's very good. He's very good in the playoffs. He's very clutch. He helps play back. He can do a lot of things for them. Plays defense. He's not the defender he once was at 27, but he's still a really good all-star caliber NBA player. And then if they can bring him back, if he accepts, they should max him.
I think. What's your level of confidence right now that he will be back? Because I've been pretty confident the entire time, but I got to say, like, the Lakers getting Anthony Davis really scared me, because I thought before it would be tough for him to go to a team, even with LeBron, that you know, probably couldn't contend for a title right away. But now, I mean, you put Jimmy Butler on a team with Butler, with Davis and LeBron. I mean, what else do they really even need?
Yeah.
They just fill out the roster and they're a contender right away.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, Butler's an enigma. He's really hard to read. And I'm not going to try to get into his head, because he's that. I mean, that guy's whatever. He's a lot of things. Hard to read for sure. Money aside, if I'm Butler, I think he genuinely liked it here. He loved playing here. I think he liked playing with Embiid and Simmons, and he talked about that. I think he felt good. He liked his role here. I think he respects Brett Brown. All that, I think, is true. But then, like, at 30 years old, I mean, playing with James Harden, playing with Anthony Davis, playing with LeBron James, playing with guys like that, Kyrie Irving, potentially Kevin Durant, even potentially, has to be attractive to him. I mean, those are his friends. He's played Olympic basketball with those guys, not Embiid. Simmons is 22. He's 8 years older than Simmons. So
right.
I think playing with your friends, he's going to get max money from wherever he goes. And playing with guys like Chris Paul and James Harden has to, and he's from Houston too. He grew up, he played high school ball in Houston. I think, money aside, I think he's definitely attracted to that stuff. That's a lot. I mean, L.A. is a big city, playing there. So all that stuff he's got to take into consideration. I don't think it's a slam dunk he'll come back here. I think it's very possible, but I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't.
That's a good point that I haven't heard a lot of people really talking about, that, you know, just the dynamic of being with guys your age, guys at your same period of life, like,
yeah,
you just kind of, I guess, can relate to them better. And that is something that would probably be appealing to him. I mean, I still think, in the end, I still think he's back, but I'm much less confident than I was like a week ago about it.
Yeah, it's totally up in the air now. And there's so many teams. Every day it's changing, and every day there's, like, different. I mean, just recently, the Rockets came into play, and I didn't even think the Rockets were a possibility because of cap space, and they don't have the cap space to sign him. But it's like, with Daryl Morey, who the heck knows? I mean, maybe they just make a trade, they get rid of Gordon and Capella, and they figure it out. I don't know, but it's like, yeah, there's a lot going on. Butler, you just don't know. And the thing is, like, championships, people think, like, they should just want to win championships, or they just want money, or they just da-da-da. I think Butler just wants to have fun. Like, I mean, I think that's pretty simple. Like, he just wants to have the most fun playing basketball, and that might be with a guy like James Harden, who he knows well. So I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking, right, but I'm just trying to guess.
And it might have been a contract year thing. I don't know. But, like, certainly here, the stuff that apparently were the issues with him in Minnesota, we saw none of that.
None of that. He was great.
Apparently maybe one thing during a film session in Portland.
Right.
And that was like basically all week.
And I was skeptical of him coming in, but he was great. Great all through the playoffs. He was like,
I know that trade was rough on you.
It was. I was not happy about that. I still think the Sixers could use a guy like Dario and Covington back.
But Dario has a bad year this year. You might be able to get him back relatively cheap.
He's very unhappy in Minnesota, Dario.
Now, the other one before we get into some more of the league-wide guys, Harris is interesting for, like, a different reason because, you know, Butler, I think it's agreed upon that if you can get him back, you bring him back.
Right.
Harris is kind of more murky in that regard, like, because I don't want to give Tobias Harris a five-year max. I don't think anybody looks at him and says, yeah, that's a five-year max player.
Well, not the years, because he's younger. It's
right.
The money.
The money. Yeah.
Like, is he worth $36 million a year? Like, that's crazy.
Right.
But that's what the go. It's like a Mike Conley situation where, like, they're fringe all-stars. I mean, Tobias Harris has never been an all-star. So I don't know if he even is going to get max money. We've talked about it in the media, like, he's a max player, but I don't know why. Like, $25 million a year is fair to me. I mean, why does he have to get five-year max money? That seems outlandish for a guy who's never made the All-Star team.
Well, I'm wondering, because I think there's a chance that Tobias Harris goes for that. Like, I think you can negotiate him to that, because you can still offer him, without giving him that absolute max, you can still offer him more than other teams can offer him.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is, it's we're trying to get into Tobias's head. It's like a team like Brooklyn comes in and offers him the 4-year max at $30 million a year, $40 million a year, and it's like, would he take a pay cut to play here? He gets the extra year here. Maybe the team's better here, but he's from New York, Brooklyn, Jay-Z. There's young guys, you know, so it's like you got to get in these guys' head. I don't know what they're thinking or what they want to do and how much money, it's money, winning, friends on the team, proximity, all that stuff comes into play. Tobias is another one who's kind of hard to read. He's been out in Bali, Bali, posting on Instagram. Like, I don't know what he wants.
He's just such a hard player to get to pinpoint, because, like, there's a reason he's been traded so much in terms of people always want him.
Yeah.
But people also don't like him enough to not trade him.
Well, he entered the league way too early. He was 19 for 1 year out of Tennessee. So he never really got going in the NBA until 2 years ago, where he's really found his zone, where he's a three-point elite shooter. Like, that's his role. He's a bigger J.J. Redick. He doesn't really play defense. He can create better than J.J.'s bigger body, but he's a great shooter. Is a great shooter worth $36 million a year? I probably not. But it's like the Sixers need great shooters. It's a real tough spot for them. And he's only 26.
And part of it, too, is that you gave up a lot in
that trade.
That's
a bad trade.
That trade, which nobody would have thought, like, at the time. I mean, I think we thought they gave up a decent amount for him. But, like, everybody thought you would have had to give up more for Jimmy Butler. They gave up way more for Harris when you look at those two, the unprotected Miami pick, Shamit, who, you know, if you kept Shamit, that's your Redick replacement. It wouldn't have, like, been that necessary to keep Redick around, I don't think.
I mean, think about it. Tobias, we're talking about being this team's, like, elite three-point shooter. You had that in Landry Shamet for $5 million over the next 3 years.
That hurts.
Like, think about it. That's a rookie deal on under $2 million average annual salary. I mean, that's a killer. So, I mean, great job by the Clippers, I guess. And that was not a good trade by Elton Brand.
No. And for the Sixers, like, they need to find players in this draft that are going to help them next
they
year.
Do. They
like,
do.
You can't be taking Euro stashes. You can't be – I know he mentioned
Well, they can't add five
picks.
Players to the roster. They have 4 second-round picks.
Right.
But that first pick and at least 2 or 3 picks have to be winning, experienced college players who are 22-year-old men who can come in and contribute. None of this 19-year-old nonsense.
Right.
Like, get some guys who can play basketball right away.
Like, can you find another Shamit tomorrow night?
It's tough.
Like that's the kind of thing you got to be looking for.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at like,
I will say this. I am excited about Elton Brand in that regard because I do think if anybody can analyze basketball prospects, he's got to be up there in terms of general managers around the league because he's such a smart player. He played for Duke. He played for the Bulls. He's had such a great playing career, and he's a smart guy. I think he's going to be good. It's a hard thing to do, but I think if anybody's going to be good at it, I think he's got a good shot at doing that second-round stuff.
I mean, obviously, like, Zaire, we don't know about yet, so it's hard to judge. But
right.
I actually think, like, they did a pretty good job with that draft last year.
I think so, too, yeah.
The fact that you got that unprotected Miami pick, which you flipped for Harris, and you got Shamit, which you flipped for Harris. Like,
Shamit was maybe the best value pick in the entire draft.
Right. Like, you essentially got Harris on draft night last year.
Yeah.
Like, by the navigating you did that night. And he wasn't, I guess, I don't think he was the GM at that point, but he was obviously
involved
significantly.
Yeah.
Now, when you look beyond the Sixers, like, at the rest of the league, this is where I think it really does have to impact the Sixers' mindset, too, in terms of what we just saw happen in the finals. The way, you know, Durant is obviously gone next year. Thompson may be back in February or March, but even so, I don't think the Warriors are really a playoff team next year. I would honestly, if I was them, I wouldn't play Curry a ton of minutes. I'd load manage him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
Livingston and Iguodala could be gone. You know, Kevin Looney could be gone. Their roster can look a lot different. So Durant could be gone. So I think Klay, Steph, and Draymond will stay together and make them a formidable team for the next 3 to 5 years. Next season, to your point, though, with Klay out for most of the year, who knows where they'll be seating-wise.
So let's do some projecting. So we both are agreement Klay stays in Golden State. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, his dad basically said that. Yeah.
Right. Now, Durant,
the injury, I think, helps Golden State contractually.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I think the injury helps Golden State's chances of keeping Durant, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think it definitely gives Durant, like, an extra edge. Look, now you got everybody telling you how much we love you, and, like, you know, you have that emotional element of being injured and recovering. Harder for him to go to leave, you know, without having to sit for a full season, kind of getting familiar with a new franchise, being hurt is got to be difficult. I don't think it would be crazy if he went to the Knicks. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he went to the Knicks or the Nets
or
whatever. But I do think there's a very good chance he stays in Golden State.
I think the Nets, I still think the Nets, like, there's a chance he could go there, team up with Kyrie, and they kind of just go through next year with Kyrie, and they're basically, you know, kind of like the Celtics this year.
Yeah.
And they're a Mid-Eastern Conference team.
Yeah.
But the other big one, obviously, is Kawhi. And I think it's clear, like, I was, you know, praying a couple weeks ago that maybe the Sixers could get a meeting with Kawhi. Maybe there'd be, now they're, you know, I think we're pretty much beyond that stage. There's chance of that happening.
I don't, like, the Clippers have been talked about a lot. I just don't see why he would go to the Clippers. I know he's from LA and he wants to play for the Los Angeles team. You know, maybe he considers the Lakers because of LeBron and AD, but, and he finishes his career with Anthony Davis, you know, together. But I don't know. I hope he stays. I think he should stay. He won the championship there. Toronto loves him. He was great there. And for me, selfishly, I like the villain thing. I like Sixers versus Kawhi. I like that he hit the shot. Not that I like that he hit the shot against us, but I like that we can get revenge. Embiid getting revenge on him one day is poetic, is like part of the story. I get to watch him when he's on. If he goes to LA, I'll never see this guy play. 10:30, forget it. So, selfishly, I want him to stay in Toronto.
We've talked about this kind of thing a lot, and we differ so much where you love the story, you love the journey.
You just want to win.
Like, I want Kawhi to go to the Clippers.
Yeah.
I think the Clippers with Kawhi would be pretty damn good.
They'd be good, but they would need more. They would need more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more. They took a Golden State team at full strength to 6 games this year.
No, I know. They were good, but, like, they don't really, you know, Lou Williams is old, you know, Pat Beverly's old, like Montrezl Harrell is a nice player, but
I love all those guys.
Those guys are nice players, but you would need a second guy to help you with the scoring at least. I mean, Toronto is like a mixed batch where like those guys melted down in games against the Sixers at times and they were bad in certain games, but like Kyle Lowry is a 5-time All-Star and Pascal Siakam averaged 20 points a game and Danny Green is a winner, a champion who hits shots, and Marc Gasol is a great NBA. You know, those guys are really, really good too. So I don't think the Clippers are as good as the Raptors.
I think it's wild when you look at the East, like whether Kawhi goes back or leaves. It's just
it's wide open.
I thought the Raptors were significantly better than the Sixers going into the playoffs. I thought it was the worst matchup. I wanted the Sixers to fall to the 4 seed so they would have played Milwaukee in the second round. But after that series,
I think you were right though.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, I think you were right. I think Milwaukee was a better matchup than Toronto. Toronto was the best team in the East. I mean, they won.
But I'm like emboldened now. Like I don't think the Sixers are that far away anymore. And I think they proved it. If Kawhi goes back, they can beat the Raptors. They should have. If they wasn't sick.
You know, they really did. They proved it. They're right there. And if you had a list, like, look, we do this every year, but the point is they're in the mix. And for the first time in 5 years, there's no clear cut one.
No.
So like that's why it's exciting, because as a Sixers fan, like this. We've known this too. Like people talk about, someone tweeted at me like again about the process being a failure, and I'm like, you're gonna give up already? This is really year three of Embiid and Simmons. This is kind of when it's starting to, like, you couldn't have expected to win in year one and two. Now we're hitting year 3, 4, 5. Now we're hitting Simmons' age 23 season. We're only starting to get to Simmons' peak, and Embiid's 25. Like, we're hitting their prime now. Now is when they when you go for it. Now is when their window is opening. It's just opening. It's not closing. So people need to understand that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like when you look at the history of basketball, teams with like two, you know, stars, like the teams who, those are your two best players. And you can argue whether Butler or Simmons is a better player last year, but essentially,
right,
you know, they're your two best players. What they did with that young of a team is pretty much unprecedented.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
to play the champion that tough in the second round. So, you know,
I think it speaks to volumes to what they did 2 years ago without Butler and Harris, with Covington and Dario. They lost in 5 to the Celtics, but that was a good Celtics team, and they played
a good series.
They played them tough, and like I think we've, for 2 years, we have now, you know, 164 games sample size of the Sixers regular season starting five being one of the best rosters in the league. You know, on off stats wise, with Embiid and Simmons. You know, those other three guys have been interchangeable, but when Embiid and Simmons are on the floor, this is one of the best lineups in the NBA, bar none, statistically, offensively and defensively. A lot of that is Embiid, but Simmons' value is extremely important too. And those two guys have figured it out. Like, that's exciting. They have figured out a way to coincide, and they understand they need each other and they like each other and they want to play together, and that's all you can ask for as a Sixers fan.
I just can't stand the way that Simmons is discussed. I
know.
Like, it's just, yes, he has flaws. He has one significant flaw that I believe, and I think you agree, he will improve. Like, and it's not going to be perfect next year.
No.
Like, and people need to understand that he's not going to come back, and he's not going to be lights out from 12 feet.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be shooting 35% from three. That just, it's going to take time.
It's the most frustrating thing I've ever experienced in the city. Maybe.
He's elite at everything else. He's an elite defender who, he gave Kawhi legit issues in that series. Like, Kawhi had to work for everything he got against the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a league that's obsessed with shooting, and it's a fan base that's obsessed with shooting. If I told you I can create a guy that's gonna be the fastest player in the league, one of the best, most versatile defenders in the league, one of the best passers in the league, one of the best rebounders for his positions in the league, but he's not going to be able to shoot the ball, would you take him? And the answer is yes, 100 out of 100 times. You have to deal. Like, as a fan base, we have to accept that he's not a good shooter. To me, he might never be a good shooter, but he's already an all-star without that. If he can figure out his jump shot, it's gravy. But I'm trying to figure out ways to maximize his talent with this deficiency. Like, It's happened with players before. Rajon Rondo's dealt with it. You know, guys can be great without shooting and scoring, and Simmons doesn't need to score to be great. He was the fifth scoring option this postseason, and he was okay with that, and that's fine. Draymond Green does not score for Golden State. He's their fourth or fifth scoring option, but he's one of their most impactful players every single night. So, I don't think scoring is an end-all, be-all in basketball. I think as a fan base is kind of hone in on points per game and three-point shooting and what you can't do. And, I think for Simmons, you got to look at what he can do. And if he, God forbid, he ever creates a jump shot for himself, at any point in his career, it's game over. It's lights out.
And we're not saying he's perfect fit.
It's tough.
You know, but the idea of trading him now is absurd. If you get 2 to 3 more years into this thing and he still hasn't made the advancements that he should make, and you just feel like at that point, okay, him and Embiid just don't fit, and it's time to move on.
Maybe. At 25 years old, he's only 22. Every team in the league would take this guy instantly and figure it out. You got to figure it out. You don't just because things are tough and it's not perfect, you don't trade it. Just because Carson Wentz has an injury problem, you don't just trade him. No player is made perfectly. If that was the case, then sports wouldn't be fun. Everybody has their problems. Butler has his issues. Harris has his issues. LeBron has his issues. James Harden, people don't like. He's an ISO player. Russell Westbrook, everybody doesn't like somebody. It's crazy, but I think that's the narrative, that's the talking point. But I think most fans understand that, most smart Sixers fans understand that this guy is at 22 years old, what he's done in 2 years. I mean, you just don't, an all-star already, rookie of the year, all-star, 16-8-8, and it's this doesn't happen very often. So you have to expect him to grow. And if he never gets better, he's still a good player. If he never, worst case scenario, which isn't going to happen.
We still think he's going to be great. It's funny, now when you look at the East, and I think we agree that a Butler, Simmons, Embiid group, whether Harris comes back or not, can certainly contend in the East. And you talk about the nature of going for it now as opposed to waiting. I did want to talk about, the reason I think really illustrated why you got to go for it now and why you can't wait forever to try to do this, and it's Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
When you look at what's happened to them over the past year, it's a disaster. They're going to lose Kyrie now. They're going to lose Horford now, which nobody saw coming. The Celtics spent all these years gathering these assets and waiting and never cashing them in. They got Kyrie, and they didn't give up a ton for him. But in the end, they end up gathering all these assets, really doing nothing. I mean, they got Tatum, who's a really good player, and Brown is a really good player. But in the end, this window kind of passed them by. It's insane.
Makes me happy.
It's but great.
I knew people were overreacting to this. Look, this idea that you can go find free agents and create super teams and sustain success is really non-existent. It's totally fine to go out and get free agents, high profile free agents, but all dynasties in the NBA are built through the draft. This was the Sam Hinkie plan. You have to have your cornerstone guys where you can get those rookies for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Simmons will be here for 7 years. Embiid will be here until they have a decision. Shaq was on the Magic for 6 years, 7 years, or I don't know what it was back then. Maybe it was 5 years, but it's a long time. Golden State was able to go out and get Durant because of that foundation they had. The Heat went out and got LeBron and Bosh because they had Wade, and that only lasted 4 years.
Right.
It's not going to last forever. The only way to sustain success through decades is to do what the Spurs and the Warriors did. It has to be built through the draft. OKC had a shot at it. They blew it. Houston's now trying to finagle their way. That's not working. It's got to start from the draft. You have to have some sort of foundation through the draft. You can't just go find guys because they're too fickle. Kyrie, he's too fickle. You don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to think. Durant, they'll leave. Those guys, Paul George leaves. These guys are just bounce around and change teams. Butler, you can't rely on that. But when you draft them, you have them for 7 years. They're locked in, and that's the only way to do it. And I think as a fan, at least I would rather my team be sustain success and be like the Andy Reid Eagles, although they didn't win, but you have a chance to win for 10 straight years than to be like the Toronto Raptors if Kawhi leaves, where they win one, but then like if Kawhi leaves, they're absolutely done.
Right.
Because it's not, you can't build that way.
And at the same time, I think you're right, where at the same time, like you got to get those players, but then I think this is kind of the mistake the Celtics made that I don't think the Sixers are going to make is, while you have those players, you can't be too conservative around them. Like,
true.
You got to go for it. Like, the Celtics conceivably, and I don't know if the Pelicans would have necessarily done it, but they could have tried to trade for Anthony Davis 2 years ago.
I think they did. I don't know about, I don't know. Maybe you're right. But like, they did have a loaded roster. I think they just underperformed this year.
They also, like, the Celtics could have gotten Jimmy Butler. Celtics could have gotten Paul George.
Yeah.
And they decided not to go after any of those guys. And you look at it, what happens in the end, yeah. And it all passes them by.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon Hayward tore his knee, and that messed a lot of it up.
Yeah.
No, I know, me either, but that messed a lot of that up. But yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, I still really do like Jason Tatum as a young player. I love Terry Rozier, and I think if he becomes a free agent, he's really interesting for pretty much any team. Like, I can see him being an all-star player at some point in his career. I don't really love Jaylen Brown out of the three. But like, that's their foundation, was Tatum. And like, they haven't built around. They tried to supplement him with Kyrie, and that didn't work. Horford's going to leave. Horford was another free agent, so now they have to like reboot, and they don't really have the draft capital to do it. So it's like, as a Sixers fan, they're in a great. You know, you're like, all right, the Celtics are. I was hoping for this Sixers Celtics thing for a few years. I still think the Celtics will be good, but like, I don't know. They don't look scary at all. I'd rather be us.
Right. And before we wrap up here, like. You just saw a report about the Sixers potentially being in on Horford?
Yeah, Shams reported they were the four most likely teams were the Lakers, Sixers, Rockets, and Mavericks.
That's so weird to me.
Really weird. And I would guess it's a backup plan. The Sixers have to be starting to create some sort of plan Bs if Harris and or Butler first, and then Harris leave. They could lose both of them, even if they offer them both the max. So they have to have some sort of other plans. So I think you start thinking of guys like Al Horford and Harrison Barnes, who are like free agents who could help.
Like, I'm thinking if you bring back Butler and you don't get Harris back, Horford could would be an interesting fourth guy.
You couldn't afford him, though. That's the thing.
You couldn't afford if you bring back one of
Butler.
If you
bring back
Harris?
One, because then you'd have three max guys. The salary cap's around 105 to 110 million.
Right.
I'm assuming they're going to extend Simmons this summer. I don't know what they do with that. I mean, Simmons will sign the rookie scale max at some point.
Right.
Maybe they can wait until the season so they would have an extra slot. So maybe they could finagle it and do it that way and bring in Horford. If you can bring in Horford and Butler and keep Butler, and you'd have Simmons, Embiid, Butler, Horford, four out of your five starters, I mean, that's the best team in the East,
I think,
barring other crazy things happening.
Rim protection alone
would be nuts, yeah. And Horford definitely can play the four. He can guard other fours, and he can make shots.
And we talked about this, too. That you talk about just, I think a lot of teams, after seeing what the Raptors did with Kawhi and how that worked in the postseason, and Embiid's already a guy who is, you know, not always going to play a ton of games. That's a way to take a lot of heat off him, sit him, play him 60 games, and the games you don't have him, play Horford at the five.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't want to, like, go Horford's 33, so you don't want to go crazy with his minutes either. But, like, to your original point was, like, you know, Horford's a guy who's going to get max money on a three-year or four-year contract. That's what he wants, and it's going to be overpaid. Like, it's going to be – fans are going to see that contract and be like, you know, wow, $160 million for Al Horford. But, like – to your point, if you're going for it, you know, maybe the back end of that contract stinks, but the first 2 years of that contract, you're a good player, and maybe you just suck it up, you pay him,
right,
and you make a run at this thing in the next year or two, and you have a real shot to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, out of those teams you mentioned,
Dallas would make a lot of sense with Horford
and
Porzingis.
Luka and Porzingis would be a nice squad they put together.
The league's going to look a lot different next year.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of teams like that. Like, Utah just got Mike Conley today.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of teams like that. But to your point again, that they think they have a shot like this year.
Like
Utah's
last
good.
Year, who would have thought last year, like, if you put Horford on Dallas,
right,
they're a legit contender to win the West next year. Granted, Porzingis got to come back healthy.
They're a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they could be a mid seed.
Then, I mean, you have a New Orleans Pelicans team that's going to be absolutely loaded. They're probably not good enough to make the playoffs, but they should contend for a playoff spot. You know, Lonzo and Drew and Ingram and Hart, and they're going to pick Zion, and they're going to pick the fourth overall pick, and they can make trades and they can package things. I mean, they're in a great spot.
That trade, by the way, was, I mean, the Lakers had to do it because they had to get Davis, but yeah. that was a great return.
Great return.
New Orleans.
Yeah, it was a great trade for both sides. I think it was pretty much a no-brainer. All along, the Lakers had the most to give up. In my eyes, I thought their package was better than Boston's the whole time.
I will say that. I wanted Griffin last offseason.
He did a good job.
And I'm kind of upset now.
Yeah.
Because I like Elton Brand, but yeah. I'd be more confident if David Griffin was running the show.
Yeah, I think he has more experience.
Yeah,
he's done it.
Yeah, so
he's good, but I'm excited to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great offseason. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. That was fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.